1 Peter 2:9 says this: "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I want to read this again. I literally changed the word this morning. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock. I had a paragraph written down last night of what I was going to preach about, but it changed this morning. And I don't like it when it changes, because when it changes, I have to go with it. But I want to read this again. I want you to declare this over your life this morning. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim." Can I say that again? "That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And if I were to write a title this morning, it's this: God has called me out. Tell the person next to you, God has called you out. Tell the person beside you on the other side, God has called you out. God has called you out. See, the people of God are not supposed to be like the world. Are we all right? The people of God are not supposed to be like the world. God has called us out of the world. God has called us out of darkness, out of sin, and has positioned his people to be set apart. God has called you out. John 15:19 says this: "If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Let me tell you, if the world hates you, you're in a good position. I know that's controversial. I know that when you say, "Oh, but they shouldn't hate me." No, Christ says, because they hate me, they're going to hate you too. If they don't hate you, question who you're following. And so 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to like literally go through this 1 Peter chapter 2, because Peter directly explains what God's people is called to be and to do. And there are four things. I don't know if I did you. Oh, you did do it. There are four things that Peter says: you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people. Four things. And so I want to break these down real quick. And I want you to really take hold of what all these things are, because this is who you are. Are we all right? This is who you are. And so the first one: we are a chosen generation. So from the moment we were born until this very moment today,
this moment today. He's been getting you ready to fulfill his plan in this earth. God's been preparing you from the day one. Even before day one, before you were even born, before your parents went in the back of the car. Those naughty areas, yeah. Before those moments, God already thought about you. He chose you in a particular time to come into a particular moment in time to live out your life. But not just live out your life, but to do the will of God. But not just to live the will of God, to speak on behalf of God. So in the job that you're in that you hate very much, God has placed you in that moment, in that job, to speak on his behalf. And you might be going, I don't see it. The reason why you don't see it is because you haven't surrendered it. Because in true surrender, that's when you start seeing. So from the moment you're born to this very instant, he's been getting you ready to fulfill his plan in his will. Because you are a chosen generation. But Peter specifically draws out in 1 Peter, listen, Isaiah. He goes back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 43, 20, 21 says this. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praises. See, the people of God has been chosen to declare his praises. The reason why you're born in this era, in this time, is to declare his praises. How do I know you've been chosen? It was the moment that the Holy Spirit tugged you in your heart to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know you've been chosen? Because the Holy Spirit picked you out in the middle of a crowd to go, surrender your life to me. No sermon can do it. No worship song can do it. I know it can help in a way, but it's the Holy Spirit that tugs in your heart to go, surrender your life. Well, you're alright. But do you know what's even crazier than this? That God chose you before the foundations of the world. He didn't just choose you to come in this particular time, but he chose you before the world was formed. Ephesians 1:4 says this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose you before you even chose him. Do you know how much he has to love you to choose you before you choose him? Do you know how much he has to care about you to choose you when you rejected him, when you pushed him aside? When you said, I don't want to know you, God, because of this, that, and all this other stuff. Even in the moments of your blasphemy, he chose you. Even in the moments of your sin, and you knew you were sinning, he still chose you. That's crazy. This tells us how precious your life is to him. Can I remind somebody this morning, or the young people this morning, that your life is precious. God's got a plan and purpose for your life because you're precious to him. For every older person who feels like they have nothing left, your life is precious. The reason why you're still breathing today is because God's got so much in you that he needs to bring out of you. And the reason why you're not is because there's so much in you. The reason people ask, like, I've been asked a few questions from young people, youth, and young adults. And why did Jesus, like, only last 3 years, you know, like, we're doing ministry, and only died and rose again at 33, right? I said to them, because he fulfilled everything that he needed to do. He could have did it at 12, he could have did it at 15, he could have did it at 20, but for some reason, God chose him at the age of 30. A lot of us have so much in us that God wants to come out of you. You just gotta surrender your life to him. Our life is precious now. You've been placed specifically here on this earth to outwork God's goodness so that God can be seen through you. You know, you're probably the only person that somebody else in your
These priests played the significant role of standing guard in God's house.
making sacrifices for God's people and instructing the people so that they could enjoy God's blessings. When the priests did their job, God blessed his people. When the priests didn't do his job well, God's curse fell on his people. I don't want to live on that part. If the priest, like let's say I'm the priest, right? If I did my job right, the people would be blessed. If I didn't do my job right, curses fall upon the people. What a time that would have been. There had to be a better way. Think about it. There had to be a better way. There was a better way. They didn't know there was a better way. They didn't know they were preparing something later on, but there was a better way. The better way was Jesus. The one and only sacrifice that takes away all sin. They had to do it every day, come before God, sacrifice, and all this other stuff. And if they did something wrong, I'm sure I've spoken about it a few times, is that they'll tie a rope as they go into the Holy of Holies. If they did something wrong, they'll die in God's presence and they'll draw them out. They'll literally pull the person out because they can't go into the Holy of Holies. I don't want to be in that part. And I'm thankful that I'm not in that part. I thank God that I'm here in the 21st century, whatever century it is. There had to be a better way. That better way was Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's called what? The high priest. So there were priests back in the day who did the job for us. But then the high priest stepped in. And Hebrews 4 says this, 14 to 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of gracious God. There we will receive his mercies and will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So previously the priesthood was on a specific people, but now God has chosen us to be his royal priesthood. See, when we believe in Jesus and follow him, we become part of this royal priesthood that 1 Peter 2:9 is talking about. It's something that we might not think about often, but if we don't, how can we truly think about being a royal priesthood? I know, like, on 1 Peter 2:9. Do you think about this often? Do you think about that you're a chosen generation often? Do you think, like, I'm a royal priesthood often? Do you think that you're a holy nation often, or his own special people often? If we don't think about it, or even talk about it, or learn about it, then we'll never operate the way God wants us to operate. God has called you to be a chosen generation. I'm chosen in this time. I'm not just chosen in this time just to live, but to be a royal priesthood. What does the priest do? I've broken down into two simple things, and you will remember this. I know you will. Two things. Serve God, serve others. That's what the priest did. If we break it down into two simple things, it's to serve God and serve others. Matthew 20:28 says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Serving God and serving others is a high calling. I don't know about you. I don't know if you believe it. But serving others and serving God is the greatest calling you could ever do. Serving yourself is the lowest. That's the world. But God has called us out of the world. Why? To serve him and serve others. Though the world may not see it this way, Jesus demonstrates it this way. We don't need to go through someone else anymore. And praise God that we don't have to go through a priest anymore, but we can go to the high priest who did the main sacrifice for all people, present, past, and future. We don't have to go to anyone else but to him. We don't have to come to Jordan to get our sins forgiven. you would have played out the play a long time ago. But I thank God that He sent His Son on our behalf. Because now we can be a chosen generation. Not because of the works or merits of a person, but through Jesus. Tell the person next to you, you're a royal person. So we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. The third one, we are a holy nation. A holy nation is a set apart people. That's what it means. A set apart people. In the Old Testament, it was and still is the people of Israel. The people of Israel is God's heart. I don't care what the world says at the moment about Israel, but Israel is God's heart. If you go against Israel, you're going against God Himself. I have to make everyone here today. If you go against Israel, you're going against God Himself. And that's why I'm like, God, whatever's happening, I trust you because I have no clue. I can pretend that I know. I can pretend what politicians can say. And I'm like, can probably read between the lines. But at the end of the day, God will protect Israel no matter what. The Bible is clear about it. So I have to make it known to everyone. But in the Old Testament, it was the stories of the people of Israel. They were called the holy nation. God set apart people. It's in Deuteronomy 42, it says this, and this is directly to Israel. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who have faced on the earth. Though this stands true, this scripture here, though God has put Israel as His special treasure and His main people, through Christ, He opened the door for everyone. Not just for Jews, but for Gentiles. We see it in Galatians chapter 3. This is where God opened the door, where He's like, yes, I've chosen my people, Israel, but now I'm opening the doors for everyone. Why? Because Christ died on the cross and His blood covers everyone. In Galatians 3, 26 to 29, it says this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the promise that God gave Abraham now is our promise. It wasn't our promise before, but it was only when Jesus opened the door. When Jesus died on the cross for us, He opened it. He's like, no more the Jews and Gentiles, I'm for all people. But His heart's still for Jews, but His heart's opened up to all. And see, the thing is, God has set us apart from the world. But He also has set us apart from personal preferences. Can I say this again? God has set us apart for this world to be a holy nation. Holy means to be set apart, to be different. He's also set us apart from personal preferences. I say it like this. People of this world is chasing their dreams, chasing money, or chasing a better future. That's what the world is about. Better future, more money, chasing the dream. But the thing is, God has called us to chase Jesus first. That in the chasing of Jesus, or seeking first His kingdom, all other things get added on. So when we are saying that we are holy people, meaning that we're set apart, it means that we're not going to follow the directions of this world by chasing our dream, chasing the money, chasing the better job, chasing the better future. I chase Jesus, and in the chasing of Jesus, I get a better future. I get maybe not more money. I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm not saying God hasn't called you to be rich. You can be rich. If you want to be rich, be rich. But be rich in God first before you're even rich in wealth. I see it in stories a lot. Even with rich people, when they die, all of them die with no purpose. They realize everything they built, all the billions and billions of dollars that they have, worthless. Why? Because they don't even know who they are. They don't know that God has called them to be a chosen generation. They don't know that they're called to be a royal priesthood. They don't know that they're set apart as a whole nation. We know. The way we live, the way we think, the way we eat, and we have something to eat, it's not because it's a ritualistic thing that we do. It's actually giving thanks. Because without him, food would not be on my table. Without him, I wouldn't have a job. Without him, I wouldn't be in this place. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, that is a holy nation. One who gives it back to him. If you're making decisions this morning or throughout this week without him in mind, go back to the drawing table and put him in mind. Because let me tell you, when you start putting him in mind, he will pave ways that you never thought he could pave. He will open doors when you thought you could never open. He will bring to remembrance things that you forgot about a long time ago. Why? Because you're putting him first. This is a set apart nation, one that gives it back to God. Tell the man next to you, you are a holy nation. The fourth one, the last one. We are his own special people. In the New King James, it says special people, but in the King James, it says peculiar people. Peculiar. The word peculiar is used today to describe something or someone as strange, odd, or uncommon. And I can tell you right now, when I look at Christianity, when I go to church sometimes, we are odd. We are strange. The way people worship is strange. The way that we are, odd. It makes me want to walk outside. But you know what? God's put us to be odd, strange. You might be like looking at the person next to you like, yeah, you're strange. The way you worship, strange. But there's actually another definition. The peculiar is not being this word I just told you. The other definition of peculiar, which is much more accurate, it means exclusive to a person. It means that exclusive to a person, group, or a thing. We're exclusive to God. We are God's possession. In 1 Corinthians, I know we've been checking up on the scripture, but scripture is good and gives us life. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You are bought with a price. I find that quite odd to think about it. Because God is the one who owned us in the beginning. He created us first. I don't know about you, but if you create something, why do you have to buy it? Think about it, like, God created us, but he still paid for us. He double payment. He doubled down on us. Think about it, he doubled down on you. He doesn't just create you. He created you and paid for you. And I know why, because sin came in the world and paid for us, and I know that, but he doubled down on us. Down on me, the person who's insignificant, whose glory is sin can fill this whole building, but he doubled down on me. If you look in your life, he doubled down on you. Like, you think about all the things that you've done in life, all the rejections you've made towards God, even in the midst of all that, he doubled down on you. He didn't just create you, but he paid the price again to get you back. Oh, that's how big God's love is for his people, that he was willing to make all of heaven bankrupt so that we could have eternal life. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 says this, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. I want to tell us this morning. We are there. just because of the season that we're going through. I want to say to you, don't devalue yourself just because of the season you're going through. Go back to God so that you can have value again. That in the midst of your storm, in the midst of uneasiness, you find value in His presence so that you can walk through it. And I want to tell every person under the sound of my voice, you are so valued and so important to God that He is giving you everything that you need to go through life, but He's also behind the cheering on. So He doesn't just give us and take us and put us in the place and like, ah, see you later. He puts us in the place and goes, come on, you can do it. And we're like, God, I can't do it. God's like, you can do it. And then you make a mistake. God's like, it's all good. Surrender it. Come back to me. Do it again. Come back to me. Do it again. What do you do with your kids when they do something great? Yeah. No, 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 no. Do it again. When my son does something wrong, I correct him right there. But then I'm like, get up, carry on, it's all good. God does the same thing for us. Like when you know when a child's walking, they fall over, and then you're like, ah, why are you celebrating? It hurts. But get up again, we'll walk again. They get up, and they walk, fall over. So then it's a fail, but we're like, no, it's not a fail, just keep going. God tried that twice, it's not a fail. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You are valued and important to God. We have a purpose and identity in God. We have a relationship with God, one that's face to face. He wants a face to face relationship with you. He doesn't want this out the. You know how we window shop? Anyone window shop? Yep. He doesn't want that type of relationship where you look outside the window and go, oh, that's God. Okay. Okay. No, He wants you to come into His house. Where there's this face-to-face value between each other. Because you are called to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. One that is set apart for Him. You're set apart for Him. Own it. Walk outside these doors today and walk out through life and say, man, I'm a chosen generation. God has placed me in this time and this place for a reason. I might not see it yet, but God, help me see it. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm here to serve others and serve God. Where are you with that? How's your serving God? How's your serving with people? Is it where it should be? Or could it be better? Make a decision. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. God has set you apart for such a time as this. You're a peculiar people. You know why? God has called you out. We've got to stop going in. We've got to keep coming out. And you know what? I believe if we outwork being called out, I can guarantee God will do something that is unexplainable, which you can only say, thank God. I know these stories in this room right now where God did something incredible, unexplainable, and that all you could say was, thank God. God has called you out. So live called out. But not only live called out, stay called out. We've got to live called out, but we've got to stay called out. Meaning, don't go back into the world. Don't go back to the old habits. Don't go back to the way you thought. But stay transformed by the renewing of the mind. How do we do that? By the word of God. By making sure that we keep each other accountable and making sure that iron sharpens iron. Get, I know I've said this before, get around other iron. Stop hanging out with woods. Stop hanging out with rocks. Hang out with other people who are iron. Because iron sharpens iron. And I'm not saying that you can't have a relationship with rocks, because we do have a relationship with rock. I'm not saying that we can't have a relationship with wood, because we probably do have relationships with people who are wood in our life. But I want us to be people who are around iron, constantly sharpening one another. It could be just a messenger, it could be a text a week, it could be a gathering of people, it could be a coffee, I don't know what it is, but do something that iron sharpens iron, because God has called us out. We've got to do this together. I can't do it by myself, that's why I have a specific people around you. You can't do it by yourself. That's why you have specific people around you. The way we stay caught out is by being around people who are caught out. The church, the body of Christ. So I want to encourage us. Those four things. Can you put those four things up for us? So we are a chosen generation. 1, 2, 3. We are a chosen generation. Okay. 1, 2, 3. We are a chosen generation. Now we are a royal priesthood. Okay, so let's just say this. We're going to say we are blah, blah, blah. Okay? 1, 2, 3. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his own special people. So remember that. Don't go, oh, yeah, that was a good word. No, actually remember that. Live that out. Breathe that out. Because that's who you are. It doesn't matter what happens in life. That remains who you are. It doesn't matter if you're going through hard times, good times, or painful times. That's who you are. So stand on who you are. Live out who you are. And be all that you're called to be through this chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own peculiar. Father, I thank you for you've called us to be called out of the world, out of sin, out of darkness. We thank you, Lord Father, that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your own special, peculiar, weird people. And so, Father, we just want to be honored, Lord, that's who we are. And I pray that as we go throughout this week, as we go throughout this year, that we'll remember who we are, despite what we may go through, despite things that are thrown to us by the world. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are your particular, special, peculiar people. And so, Father, we want to give you honor and glory. We thank you for what you've done on the cross for us. We thank you that you've given us life. We thank you that you've given us freedom. I pray that you speak to us, Holy Spirit, through this week. I pray that you open our eyes to see you in a new way. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give Pastor Jay a hand, please?
So family, remember that, and if you ever forget or start quickening, remind one another. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got a few announcements this morning for church, but before we get into all of them,